Selling Studios, powered by RumbleOn.com. It's time to get all the info you need on the Vanderbilt Commodores. This is the Anchor Down Podcast with Vanderbilt reporter Max Hurd.
Yeah, that's a good way of putting it, Max.
On Nashville's best sports talk,
ESPN
102.5 The Game.
And the Game Nashville app.
It's time to Anchor Down. And listen up to the Anchor Down Podcast here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. My name's Max Hurst. I'm your host. It's Martin Luther King Jr. Day, January 18th, 2021. And we're going to talk some Vandy basketball, mostly men's team. I know there was some big women's basketball news today. They were discontinuing their season because of COVID. It seems like that decision was made collectively by the players. There has not been any media availability announced surrounding that. And to be honest with you, I don't really have much to add on a personal note. Either you support the players and you respect the decision, or you're on another side of it. And I don't think there's much middle ground. And without hearing specifically further from anybody else, I don't really have a ton to say about it. I think it's terrible that the season is done. I wish they would continue going, but that's really all I got on the matter for the time being. So we're going to keep the podcast going here on this Monday with what we were planning to talk about before that news came out at 2 o'clock Central, which is the Vandy men's basketball team. Robbie Weinstein, who covers Vanderbilt athletics for 247sports.com. Vandy247.com is his site. He is our trusted source, thinker, insider, analytics guru, whatever you want to call him. Anyway, he's the person we go to talk Vandy men's basketball, as we do plenty of times here throughout the season on the show. And he got back from covering the game in Knoxville on Saturday. No news there today either, by the way. Woo! Shout out UT. Shout out Philip Fulmer. Shout out everybody. Shout out Shelton Felton. How could you fire somebody with such a great name? Shelton Felton, assistant coach, fired with cause, because his name was so great. Anyway, Robbie got back from Vanderbilt men's basketball's loss to Tennessee in Knoxville on Saturday. They lost by 20, and he demanded to come on the podcast today. He had some hot takes to spew, and of course, the takes were hot, but also some very measured, level-headed, and statistical-based analysis on where the team stands right now and what they should be doing more of in terms of different lineups, different looks, different players, things like that. So we'll talk about all that. I think we literally name everybody on the team as this conversation goes on with where they stand right now, who Robbie wants to see more of, who he wants to see less of, what he wants to see less of, what they're good at right now, and why they need to get better pretty damn soon in Jerry Stackhouse's second season as the Vandy head coach. We'll be back with our men's basketball player interview, we hope, later this week, hopefully either Thursday or Friday in between the games, both home games against A&M Wednesday at 6 on ESPN2, 6 Central, and against Arkansas on Saturday at noon Central on the SEC Network. So hopefully we will have a player interview between now and then. You can subscribe to the Anchor Down Podcast on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Google Podcasts, and Stitcher. Robbie Weinstein is on the show. As always, we are going to talk about Vanderbilt men's basketball with him. Robbie, you got back from Knoxville on Saturday night to our humble home. You saw me, and you said, we need to do a podcast on Monday. I'm going to spew some basketball hot takes. So, Robbie, let your basketball birdies fly.
Yeah, so this game coming up on Wednesday, Texas A&M, I mean, these are, in my opinion, the two worst teams in the SEC. Maybe Vanderbilt can get out of that cellar. I don't know. Texas A&M is 2-4 in the conference, but I'm not very convinced, to say the least. And it's very interesting coming into the season. I thought Vanderbilt had a little bit of potential to get into, like, you know, the 10th place sort of range. And I think certainly recently they've shown some flashes. But I don't know, man. Like, Texas A&M at home, this is really a must-win game. Like, yeah, we're only 11. This is only the 11th game of the season. It's only the fifth SEC game. We knew coming into the season that the chances of Vanderbilt, like, making the NCAA tournament were pretty much zero. So it's not like, you know, in some ways it seems weird to say this is a must-win game, but I just think yeah, the roster, I really do think, has improved so much just compared to last year when it was so thin and there was just, like, not much at all outside of Saban Lee, and that team still won 3 SEC games. At some point, even if like subjectively and qualitatively, it seems like the roster has improved and that the trajectory is okay. At some point, you got to win some games. And so this is a game that you have to win because it's at home against the 13th team in the SEC if you're the 14th.
So with that being said, what do you think it means if they don't win this game?
Yeah, I mean, the fan apathy, which is already pretty significant, will probably hit an all-time high, I would say. I think the belief in Jerry Stackhouse, which is probably already very iffy among the fan base, is going to kind of drop off, I think. And I personally think Stackhouse is a good basketball coach, but the fans are very important, right? I mean, they drive the revenue of a program. And so at a time where the women's basketball program is also really struggling, there could be a coaching change. They just discontinued their season. The football program is coming off two terrible seasons, and at least maybe there's some hope there because of the new staff, and they started the locker room project finally. I just think things are sort of piling up on each other, and Vanderbilt men's basketball could really use something because they haven't beaten a good team this year. Like, at some point, you got to show some results. Because I think Stackhouse's SEC record right now is, so what, they were 3-15 last year plus the Arkansas loss in the SEC tournament. So that's 3-16 plus 0-4 this year. 3-20, yeah, definitely, like, the program and the roster was like a smoldering crater when he got here. And I think, like, when you watch them play basketball, especially offense, it doesn't, like, nothing about them screams, like, oh, that's such a poorly coached team or anything like that. Like, I think he's a good basketball coach. But at the same time, they got to show some progress.
Robbie Weinstein from Vandy247.com talking Commodore basketball here on the Anchor Down podcast. And, Robbie, what got you going on all this was the loss at Tennessee on Saturday evening. Vandy lost that game 81-61. They hung with them in the first half. Tennessee pulled away late, as it seems like they usually do throughout this season for the Vols, who are ranked 10th in the country. What did you make of that game overall, and were there positives, or was it just a bad loss?
I don't think there were really any positives, no. They played fine at certain points in the first half, but to me, what it just showed is that they right now cannot beat good teams unless they shoot really well from three-point range. They were 5 of 23 in that game and just didn't really have a shot because of that. Now, I think we all understand that if you shoot 5 for 23 from 3 against a good team, you're probably going to lose. Definitely, like, if you look at these NBA scores over the last couple of years, like, you can go and look at just about any box score, and the team that makes – if one team makes significantly more threes than the other, they almost always win. And I think that is going to start trickling down to college basketball. But at the same time, in the SEC, there needs to be – like, I know Vanderbilt has a backup plan for sure. They'll try to penetrate into the paint and spray the ball out. But they need to have – you need to have a backup plan that can actually work. And right now, I don't think they have one. So could that develop over the course of the season? Yeah, I think that's still possible. But they're a little bit of a, like, one-trick pony right now, I think. And then also defensively, you know, Quinton Melora Brown has had, like, a pretty solid defensive season according to plus-minus numbers that I track. But other than that, they just haven't been very good defensively, I think. And it hasn't helped that Jerry Stackhouse has said after a couple of recent games that opposing teams are shooting better than you might expect against them. Fans will complain about that, but it's actually true. At the same time, you know, I think they can play a lot better on defense than they're going to have to. Opponents are shooting like 40% from three against them this season compared to, I think, 33% last year. And I wouldn't say, like, they have better defensive personnel this season for sure. So I do think that's going to come down, and they have had some bad luck so far. But nobody cares about bad luck if you can't win an SEC game. It doesn't matter in the long run.
You mentioned Quinton Melora Brown. Clevon Brown got back after injury for his first SEC game of the year against Tennessee on Saturday. He started that game. Dylan DeSouze played big minutes at both the 4 and the 5. What do you make of just what they've done at the forward and post group this year on both ends?
Well, I don't really the Cleavon Brown thing is odd because he's had a strange year where he missed some time early when they had the COVID issues. And if you were reading between the lines, like, I don't know if he had COVID, but it seems that he was at least quarantined. So maybe he was contact traced. And, and when that happens, of course, you have to get back in shape to an extent. And so he didn't play well after that, but he didn't play well in the opener, and he just came back for that UT game. You look at his stats over the course of the season, and the team hasn't played well with him on the floor, and he hasn't really produced anything. So I just don't really know what's going on there, because he actually played pretty well last season before he got hurt. So it has hurt to have him and Max Evans, who were two projected starters coming into the season, who haven't really produced as seniors. So I think also that is one other thing that is, you know, I don't like, it's hurting Stackhouse right now, and I don't know if it's his fault or not, but they're just not getting any production from the upperclassmen. These aren't his players who he brought in aside from DJ Harvey, but at the same time, he's been here 2 years, and so player development to an extent is his responsibility. That's why I think, like, you know, next year and the year after, like, I think they're fine long term, because they're going to, as long as Pippen doesn't, like, go to the NBA after this year, which I suppose is possible, they should have more balance where they're getting more from their upperclassmen. But right now, I mean, you can just look at the roster and look at the recent games. All their best players are freshmen and sophomores.
What's up with Harvey?
Yeah, I don't know, man. The fans are definitely riding the hate train with DJ Harvey. I'm kind of tired of it, to be honest. I get people like texting me constantly like about how frustrated they are with him, which, like, I get. I mean, he hasn't been productive, but he just doesn't look the same to me as he did at Notre Dame. His production at Notre Dame was what it was. Like, he was a double-figure scorer in the ACC. He's a talented player. So I do think there are legitimate explanations in terms of he had COVID, which he revealed himself. He has had trouble, like, getting in shape. To me, he just doesn't look like he has any pop or bounce athletically right now. He looks pretty slow. And so I don't know if, you know, some of that is maybe not having a normal offseason. Some of it is probably having COVID. But he's also not really shooting the ball well. So I think at this point, I could see him, like I said, the expectation was that he was going to go to the NBA after this year. I think I said that on the show previously. I mean, right now I would think that he would come back, and maybe he could be good next year. Like, I wouldn't rule that out at all. I think he could bounce back. But right now I would probably move to put Jordan Wright in the starting lineup, because he's been playing well and he's earned it.
Robbie Weinstein's talking Vandy Hoops. Tyron Lawrence tore his ACL, freshman guard, out for the season. He'd only played 7 minutes in two SEC appearances so far this year. I know they haven't played that many SEC games, but it seems like we hadn't really seen him much recently. Is this a big deal, and where does it hurt the team the most, if anywhere specific?
I don't think it's a big deal once Isaac McBride comes back. Right now, they do. I don't know if they have to play some walk-ons, but they are playing walk-ons. Stackhouse played Max Edelman and Isaiah Rice against Tennessee. I would personally just say, like, just play the guys more minutes, the starters. But I think that's where it hurts them, is if they're going to play walk-ons. You know, that just typically, I think, like, guys like Isaiah Rice, Max Edelman, I think can be perfectly fine in terms of not killing you, like, defensively, not making huge mistakes. But they're not really threats so much offensively. And I just think Vanderbilt right now needs to put their best lineups on the floor at all times, basically. Lawrence averaged like 2.9 points per game. So, of course, it's not a huge loss. But I really feel for him, because I think he showed some nice athletic explosion in a couple of games this season. He's 6'4". Like, he's got pretty good size. He hasn't shot the ball well, but I've seen him kind of shooting around before, after games, and I think his shot is fine. So, you know, he's a guy at his size with pretty good athleticism. I think he has some pretty solid potential. And, you know, most players come back from torn ACLs these days and are totally fine, but he's going to miss a lot of player development time, a lot of practices, some game action as well. And it is a setback for him, for sure. So I think long-term that's an issue, but I don't think it really changes how I view the team going forward this season.
you've kind of named bits and pieces of it in the 12 minutes we've been talking so far, but what is your best lineup? What do you think the team's best lineup is, and how deep would you go rotation-wise? And we can say McBride is healthy, if that helps you flush it out a little bit.
Yeah. McBride wouldn't be in there.
Right. But in terms of minute allocation and bench allocation.
Yeah, I would put him in there a little bit probably, even though he hasn't necessarily played that well. Like Isaiah Rice and Max Edelman have like barely played, so I do think definitely having McBride in there would be good. So I would say the best lineup is Trey Thomas, Scottie Pippen, Jordan Wright, Miles Studi, and Dylan Dessou. That's probably what I would say. So Trey Thomas has like had a really good season in terms of the cumulative plus-minus. The team plays a lot better when he's on the court. With McBride out, it's a little bit – I think Stackhouse had said after the UT game, it's hard to start them together because those are your two point guards, right? So you kind of need like if you start them both together, they both get tired and you can only sit one down. You got to keep playing one who's tired. So that is a little bit of an issue, and that will help when McBride comes back, because he can play a little bit of point guard. But looking at the lineup that I just mentioned, has played 20 possessions this season. They've outscored opponents 31-19. So it's not a very big sample size, but Dessou at center has been Vanderbilt's best situation this season. Dessou, when he's at center, they've outscored opponents by about 5 points per 100 possessions. And when he's at the power four, when he's at the four, they're getting outscored by about 4 points per 100 possessions. So he's been at his best at the center. They don't really play a lot of defense in those lineups, but they really score the ball very well. So it would help a lot if Cleavon Brown can round back into form. But I would, I think Jerry Stackhouse has been playing Dessou more at center as the season has gone along, and I think that's the right move because that's what the numbers say.
I like it. I like the thinking. I like that you got Miles Studi in there too, because he's quickly becoming my favorite player on the team.
Yeah, no, he's gonna be good. I don't personally see him as some future like star, like all SEC type of guy. But that doesn't not everybody. You can only have so many of those guys on your team anyway. And it is great to have role players who can be really good 3-point shooters, quality defenders, averaging like 12 points a game and, defending wings. He's going to be a really valuable player, I think, going forward once he figures out, like, how to play defense. And I think he is getting better there. But having a guy who can shoot as well as he can from three doesn't need to have the ball in his hands all the time and has size and versatility defensively. He's going to make things work a lot easier for his teammates on both sides of the court. And, he seems to be a nice kid, a good locker room guy and all that. I think the shooting is also very legit. I know we're only 10 games into the season. He hasn't played all of them, but that guy has deep range. He doesn't need a lot of space to knock those shots down. He is a really good shooter, better shooter than I expected. And has he been like the third best player on the team this year? I don't know.
I could argue that, right?
Yeah, no, he's been really good. He's been a pleasant surprise.
It's either him or Thomas, probably. It's one of the freshmen.
Yeah, they've been outscored pretty solidly when he's on the court, but I think there's a lot of noise there because some of his games were like right when he came back off of he had a similar absence to Cleavon Brown where he either had COVID or was quarantined or whatever. So I think he's good. I think he's going to be a key piece for them going forward. It's going to be really interesting because Gabe Dorsey, who's one of the 2021 commits or signees, kind of a similar player in that he's a really good shooter. He's about 6'6", probably more athletic than Studi and a little bit thinner. So maybe he would guard smaller guys, but he should be a really good defensive player and also a guy who doesn't really need the ball a lot, but he's like a 40% 3-point shooter in high school and definitely a very projectable shooter, going to be really good at the college level. So they're going to have two pretty high-quality, like, 3-and-D type of wings. And so then if you can bring back Pippen next year, and if Peyton Daniels, who's the other 2021 commit, if he pans out, then you've got a really good perimeter foundation, I think, going forward. And then I think they need to get in the transfer market big time at center.
Yeah.
Because, I mean, Cleavon Brown, I can't imagine is going to come back for
one more year. One more year.
Okay. Well, I mean, who knows? Maybe, but that doesn't happen very often. Most players in college football and college basketball who have the option, like, have not. Or I guess, like, basketball, it's not time to make the decision yet, but most of the football players have not come back when they've had the option due to the COVID waiver. So Obina, you know, isn't really playing. He's going to graduate. I think it makes sense for both sides for him to graduate and transfer. So you've got Quentin Melora Brown and Akeem Odosipe. We'll see what happens with him. But I think they need to hammer the transfer market, because if they can get a really high-quality center who can step in and start right away next season, then, you know, if they got Pippen coming back, then they can be pretty good. But that's a big hole going forward.
Yeah, I agree with you. All right, that's all I got, unless you have anything else to say going into A&M Wednesday and then the must bus pulling in on Saturday, them Razorbacks.
Yeah. No, I think they beat A&M. I do think so. A&M shoots a little bit below 30% from three. I think they'll lay some bricks, and Vanderbilt will comfortably win that one. That's my prediction. And then I still think the roster, like, they've got a lot of guys. They've got, I don't know if it's quality depth. Like, a lot of these guys are inexperienced, but they've got a lot of guys they can throw in there. Pippen is having a great season. Dylan Dessou is playing better. I still think they're going to, like, surprise some teams here and there in the SEC, and there's also some games remaining against teams at the bottom of the league, like Georgia, for instance. So I don't think it's a lost cause or anything like that this year, depending on what your expectations were, but they got to pick it up.
All right, Robbie Weinstein, he's our man for Vandy Men's Basketball. Thanks so much for doing this.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
Robbie Weinstein, our basketball expert here on the show. He's got something to say on everybody, which is great. And he kind of thinks about the basketball team the same way I think about the baseball team, which is why I want to have him on as much as possible during basketball season. But for those of you who are following this team closely this year, I think he checked every box in terms of who we went after, who we talked about, what works well, what doesn't work well, what was bad on Saturday, why are they playing all their walk-ons, why aren't they playing Drew Weikert if they're going to play all their walk-ons? I kid, kind of. But he did play in conference games last year, and he did score. So, yeah, I think we covered everything there. So hopefully you enjoyed that conversation with Robbie if you're following the men's team, and he really thinks they need to win Wednesday. And funny enough, a little bit over a year ago right now, an embarrassing home loss to Texas A&M in the first game without Aaron Nesmith was when we realized that the 2019-20 Vandy men's basketball team was going to be in a lot of trouble. So maybe this year they go in the other direction against Texas A&M at home? We will see. We will see. Wednesday night, 6 p.m. It's on ESPN2. And then Saturday, noon Central, against the Hogs. Shout out to Miles Studi. I said he's becoming my favorite player, not just because he's playing well, and Robbie had the breakdown on what's working well in Studi's game at the moment and why the bad defensive numbers may just kind of be a fluke. He's also not really always out there with the first unit. We saw that on Saturday. He wasn't always out there with the first team, so that certainly affects a lot of that, especially on the defensive side, where even if he's doing his assignment, those numbers could be bad in terms of points against, points per possession against, things like that that Robbie's talking about and keeping track of for Vanderbilt over the course of a single game and multiple games. I think Studi is great because, again, other than the actual things that matter, he makes great faces during games. Have you guys been watching Miles Studi on TV? He already has a great facial expression when he runs. I grew up with a couple of people who like this, played sports with them. It's like one of my best friends growing up always had a smile while he was running. And he just looks so happy. And there, I've met other people like this. I've seen other people play sports like this. Like, it's not something you're controlling. So Miles Studi, he doesn't have a smile per se, but he has a very expressive face while he plays basketball, and he reacts to stuff, which I absolutely love. So hopefully we can have him for our weekly player interview as the road continues here. And we had been alternating the men's team and the women's team. We only got to talk to one women's player just because of how many times they've had to pause their season because of COVID, but the rest of the way, there's no more women's team for this year, so we may have a men's player every week. If I have my choice, that's what it will be. So hopefully that means we can get in some of the younger guys and Miles Studi down the road here on the show. Hey, baseball season's coming up. If it starts on time, it starts a month from tomorrow. That's Tuesday tomorrow, as I speak here on Monday the 18th. The start date for the teams that have released schedules and other conferences seems to be February 19th. So that's plan A. That's when it's supposed to start in normal times. It's, I don't know the exact number. It's a certain amount of weekends before Memorial Day. I think it's 14 weekends before Memorial Day, and then the conference tournaments end on Memorial Day Sunday. Memorial Day is when they announce the tournament bracket. So that is February 19th. So hopefully we can start then. But we talk about baseball year-round here on the Acre Down podcast. And if that date is what they're going for, it looks like players are back or will be back soon. Some of them may be quarantining right now, which is protocol for everybody as they get back to campus from the long Christmas break. I mean, the baseball team, teams that haven't been playing, so spring sports, they've been gone since Thanksgiving. So it's been a while. So they quarantine on the way back in. And we'll be talking about baseball as soon as we have things to talk about. They should be on the field soon, I would hope. So we'll be there. Till then, we'll talk about basketball and hoping for some more football coaching announcements and hopefully some interviews on the football side as well. Thanks again to Robbie for joining the show. Thanks again to you for listening and subscribing, which you can do on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Google Podcasts, and Stitcher. It is free. Every episode there is on demand for you to listen anytime. You've been anchoring down and listening up with me, Max Herz. It's the Anchor Down Podcast here on ESPN 102.5 The Game.